Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today is the gospel for reading from Luke 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Please join with me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. The good shepherd stands as the crowds flock to him, and what a wilderness this is. There's a multitude there, a gathering of two very different groups. On the one hand, a flock of Pharisees stand aloof, watching this shepherd Jesus to see what he does. On the other hand, there's an unrespectable bunch of tax collectors and sinners, the undesirables. Pharisees and tax collectors, you'll not find two groups more polarized than these. But both have something in common. They are both lost sheep in need of a shepherd. It comes as no surprise when the grumbling begins among the Pharisees. This man receives sinners and he eats with them. They've been looking for proof against Jesus, and his association with these people might be something they can use. After all, if he really is the Savior, holy and righteous, why would he be eating with such unholy and unrighteous people as these? This man receives sinners and eats with them. The scandalous accusation falls heavy on the ears of many. Jesus responds with a couple of parables. The first, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he had lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." It's the story of a dedicated shepherd. When one sheep is found to be lost, he leaves the other 99 and goes after it. Sheep don't last long on their own. They'll either eat the wrong plants or fall victim to some predator. With no sense of direction, they're not going to find their way back to the shepherd, so the shepherd has to go to them. And note how the story continues. Once the shepherd finds the sheep, he carries it home. When he arrives home, he holds a party, maybe a meal, to rejoice that the lost sheep is found. So Jesus tells the crowd of his mission. He isn't there to save people who do not need salvation. He's there to save the lost. He hasn't come to die for those who don't need forgiveness, but to redeem those who do. And when a sinner repents by the grace of God, even the host of heaven rejoices. Who's who in the crowd of Pharisees and sinners? Except for the Lord, there is no one righteous in that crowd. When Jesus speaks of the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance, there are no such 99 to be found. Both the Pharisees and the sinners are lost sheep, but there's an important difference. The Pharisees believe that they're righteous, that they don't need Jesus and forgiveness. They believe that by their own work and merit, they are pleasing to God. In other words, they don't believe they need a Savior. They're sheep who don't believe they need a shepherd to lead them. They're actually only willing to acknowledge Jesus if he follows them. Therefore, they are far more lost than the so-called sinners. Those tax collectors and sinners, on the other hand, having nothing about them that will impress the Savior, they have lived evil, vulgar lives, and they know it. They need help they don't deserve, and that is why they have gathered around the Good Shepherd. It's a strange reversal that day. Angels and archangels rejoice over tax collectors and sinners, for they are repentant sinners who eat in the Lord's presence. As for the Pharisees, they refuse that table. And duly warned, they are the 99 left in the wilderness while the Good Shepherd goes to care for those who confess their need. Jesus speaks again. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This time it's a woman in her house missing one coin out of 10. It's a precious coin worth a day's wage. So she sweeps and searches with lighted lamp. When she finds the coin, she then celebrates with friends and neighbors. Now that she has found the coin, she proceeds to spend a good chunk of its worth. It's not good business sense, but this isn't business. It's the salvation of souls. Does it make sense that all of heaven would care to rejoice over the repentance of one sinner? No, it doesn't make sense. But so precious are the people of God and the blood of Jesus that they do. The second parable parallels the first. Although we might speculate on one thing, is Jesus the woman of the parable? Perhaps, but perhaps not. The church is often portrayed as a woman, as the bride of Christ. And penitent sinners are the ones in the house of the Lord. Therefore, it could be that Jesus speaks on the ongoing mission of the church. By the light of his word, we proclaim the gospel of Christ crucified and risen again. Those who hear and believe are found and gathered into the house, and so the angels rejoice again. Those who do not hear or will not believe remain in the dust to which they shall return. I offer that because whether this is the Lord's meaning of the second parable, it is certainly true according to other parts of Scripture. In any event, we rejoice this day that Christ is the Good Shepherd who comes to seek and to save the lost. In Psalm 51, written by King David after Nathan called him to repentance, after adultery and murder, David could hardly claim to be a worthy sheep. So instead, he confessed his lostness and prayed, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." In the epistle, St. Paul rejoices that the Lord has saved him, this chief of sinners. After a life of blasphemy, persecution, murder, and insolence before God, Paul had no hope of earning God's favor with his past record. Instead, he trusted only in the mercy of Jesus Christ. Today we sang, "Jesus sinners doth receive." In our liturgy, we have sung with David, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." You sing this praise because you share this joy with Paul and David and all of God's people. Christ has died and Christ has risen for you. You are found. You are found. The Good Shepherd has gathered you in. You are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. On this day, as you confess your sins, angels rejoice over your confession. Why? Because the angels always rejoice in the work of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. He has borne your sin and unworthiness to the cross, defeating it there, so that he might bear you on his shoulders to heaven. He has borne your cross and paid that price. He has found you, saved you, and now feeds and tends to you by his word and sacraments. Nothing can snatch you out of his hand, so your eternal life is certain. Therefore, be careful so that you do not again wander away from your shepherd. While the devil cannot snatch you from your Savior, he has all sorts of ways to entice you to wander. to get you lost in the wilderness as easy prey once again. There's the way of the Pharisee who says, I don't need forgiveness from Jesus because I'm quite righteous all on my own. This is not an attitude reserved for the religious elite of our society. Rather, it's pervasive. An apathy towards sin sweeps through our land so that many say, sin doesn't really matter anymore to God. He'll still love me just because he's loving and I'm lovable. Therefore, I don't need forgiveness. Do not be deceived. To say this is to be in grave danger, for you are lost when you think you are found. The Lord still hates sin and promises that the unforgiven will be damned. It is not he who says that sin doesn't matter. That is the invention of sinful man who doesn't want to be forgiven. There is another variation of this that attracts many today. It is the idea that we will proclaim Jesus, but not his cross or forgiveness of sin. We want Jesus to help us with other aspects of life, not grace for our sin. In other words, we want the same shepherd but different food, like emotional uplift, practical advice, or psychological assistance. But Christ has laid down his life for the forgiveness of sins. If we seek him out for other things, then we are asking him for what he does not promise, while we fail to ask him for what he does. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say forgiveness doesn't matter to us, then the Lord will not burden us with his grace. If we dismiss our sin as unimportant and look to Jesus for other things, then our sin remains with us and we are unforgiven. So some will say, I don't need forgiveness. Others will simply say, I don't want forgiveness. Sin can be that addicting, where one understands that his lust or greed or cruelty is a sin before God, but is unwilling to give it up. This is to choose sin which kills over the Lord who gives life. If such a sin afflicts you, do not fail to confess it, and do not fail to confess your attraction to it. Do not rely on the false advice of your appetites. Instead, acknowledge what the Lord says in his word about such killing sins, and rejoice that the Lord says about his mercy that he has died for these sins too, and his grace is sufficient for you. There is another way for sheep to wander, and it is simply to wander away. Sometimes Christians will grow tired of the Lord's heavenly feast of word and sacrament, and they simply cease coming to church. But sheep that wander away quickly cease to be part of the flock. If you isolate yourself from the Lord's means of grace, you are depriving yourself of his forgiveness. You are also filling yourself with other things, other thoughts and teachings that cannot save. It makes you easy prey for the devil, who prowls like a lion who seeks to devour you. There are indeed many ways to be lost in the wilderness, because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. But this is not you here now. No, your good shepherd has faithfully gathered you here to his fold. He has led you by the still waters of your baptism. There he says, I have called you by name and placed my name on you. You are not lost because I have found you. He speaks his word to you, and by that word he continues to forgive your sins and strengthen your faith. When you are spooked by prowling anxiety or doubt, the shepherd's words of grace still holds true. You are his, even if you do not feel it. And as he ate with those tax collectors and sinners, so he invites you to his meal. He gives you his body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. So on this day, You rejoice with angels and archangels over the repentance Jesus has given you. With the whole company of heaven, you sing, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory." With the church on earth, you sing, "Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." You are found, and your good shepherd is no less than the Lord God of Sabaoth, who laid down his life to redeem you. By his word and sacraments, he declares today, "Have no fear, little flock. You are forgiven all of your sins." Amen. Now may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith in Christ Jesus.